I'm going to put on my minister hat now. So that is, and I'm going to put on my minister glasses too. Okay. So we can sing that song in unity. It's the closest thing we have to a traditional praise song. And we can sing it with our hearts open because we know that it's not about God, you are. It's about God, you are. Every single one of us, every single bit of us, every second, every moment, every season, every place in our lives just makes me feel good to sing it. I hope you felt good too. So happy Father's Day. I would like for anyone in this room who is a father to raise your hand. Okay, everyone who had a father, raise your hand. Okay, that pretty much covers it. If you had a difficult relationship with your father, raise your hand. If your father is now not on the earth anymore with you, raise your hand. Yeah. So that's the reason Ellen said, you can do Father's Day. It is a holiday like Mother's Day, which is, I like the word fraught. It's fraught. It triggers people. It's one of those holidays that you can end up standing in the Hallmark store going, not that one. Not that one. It can take a long time to find a card that says what you want to say but doesn't say all the crap you wouldn't say, you know, no matter what. So, pardon me. So what I wanted to talk about is I thought about coming toward Father's Day, and I lost my father 3 years ago, so it's still fairly fresh. And also, our birthday, my father and I shared a birthday. It was next Friday, so I think about him especially this time of year. We shared that time together. But the Trinity of Father, the Father, what Charles Fillmore called the transcendent and the immanent God. There is that transcendent God who we know is not just a father, but is a father, mother, and everything in between. And there is that immanent God that is absolutely, completely intimate with us. And then there is that person in our lives who helped us to come to be in some way. At the least, contributed DNA, and at the most, possibly held you and nurtured you and guided you and loved you all along the way. Some of us are mostly somewhere in between, I would say. So that heavenly Father, just forgive me because it's Father's Day, I'm going to say Father, is what we sang about in the song. It is all of that beauty that is the earth. It is all of that majesty. It is all of that creativity. It is all of that intelligence that is who we are. That is what we are. As Rumi says, we are not drops in the ocean. We are the entire ocean in one drop. Every single one of us has every single element of God within us. Now, as a drop or a wave, I'm not going to claim to be the whole ocean, but there's nothing the ocean has that I don't have. And I claim that for myself today. So all the gifts of nature, that transcendent God, have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? I was walking along, just looking, just sort of walking through the trees and trying to absorb some of the beauty that was around me. And what came through my head, I found myself, I was like, oh, was I doing that out loud? Singing, then sings my soul, you know? Old habits die hard, but that song seemed perfectly appropriate to me. There is that part of me that just goes, wow, this is so much bigger, so much huger than I can ever figure out, than my human mind will ever know. And I'm a part of that. And then there's also, and from that God, we get principle, we get law, we get a God who doesn't feel so directly involved, perhaps, in our lives. We get that God has the highest possible perspective, that aspect of God. And although we can access that power of God, I would not go so far as to say we have control over that aspect of God. And I've tried it. So I can tell you this from absolute truth here that I've tried to control every aspect of my life for so long that I just got too tired and had to do something else. And I love the fact that your mission statement for the church is that this is practical spirituality. I think if you come to church on a Sunday and you hear something that makes you go, oh, wow, that felt so good, and you can't remember what it was after you leave, then you haven't, and I know you have Ellen here, so that doesn't happen, but when you have something that you can take and you can use in your life, that's the kind of lesson that I want. I want something practical. So I tried the control, didn't work very well. Now I'm trying something different. And one of the things we don't control that we get from our physical father is our DNA. I mean, that comes from the transcendent father. It comes from the immanent father. It comes from our DNA. And we don't always get to say what that's like. And I was a kid as a teenager who wanted to be Julie Andrews more than anything else in the world. That was what I wanted to be. And I had the voice to do it, and I went around singing in trees, thinking I might get discovered there. And I turned 13, and I grew to be 5'10" with size 11 feet and large, lots of things. And, you know, in my theatrical path, I was very rarely cast as Julie Andrews. I have played Julie Andrews' mother, Julie Andrews' maid, Julie Andrews' nurse, Julie Andrews' fun sister, but not really Julie Andrews. And I had pain about that for a lot of years. I laugh about it now, but as a young woman in her 20s, really working hard to do something in the theater world, that was very painful for me, because the skinny girl they cast never had the voice to do it. Right? I'm like, really? And it was painful, but what I have learned is that God is so very frugal that there is not one thing that we go through in our lives that's wasted. Not one thing. And if I had not had that pain of not quite belonging, of not quite feeling good enough, or at least not recognized or seen or perceived as good enough, then I might not have had the compassion that has grown in my heart today that has led me to a place where I understand that ministry is mine to do. If everything had been made easy for me, I'd be on Broadway. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But the path and the life that I have today is so much greater than what 21-year-old me would have chosen for me. So, so much richer, so much fuller, so much better. And that is the gifts, some of the gifts of the Father. And that's what I want to talk about today. The gifts that we give, some of them which we don't want, which we would give back if we could, but which turn out to be gifts anyway. And talking about our earthly fathers, I could right now tell you 10 stories about my father that would make you think, how did she even survive her childhood? My father was an army colonel, a fundamentalist preacher, and an alcoholic who died of cirrhosis. So I call it the triple whammy. And it was very, very confusing because I thought, you know, almost everything I did was going to send me to hell, but he was drinking and preaching, and it was very confusing. And I could also, though, right now tell you 10 stories that would make you go, gosh, I wish I had your childhood. You had the most idyllic, beautiful Beaver Cleaver kind of life that could have been had. And all of it is true. And that's what life is. All of it is true. So I just want to share a couple of gifts today that I got from my personal father. And one is, when I was about 8 years old, I was playing out in the front yard with my brother and my younger sister, who was about 4 at the time. And we had a house where you had to actually come in the front gate in order to get into the front yard. And this woman, we saw her coming down the street, and she came and she turned and she opened our gate, walked in our yard, picked up my little sister, sort of swinging her around, and my brother and I panicked. We ran in the house. We said, Daddy, 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 somebody's trying to kidnap Cindy. There's a woman out there. My dad ran out, and before he even got off the porch, sort of assessed the situation and very calmly said, "Hello, how are you today? Could you please put Cindy down? And it's nice if you ask people before you pick them up. And the kids need to come in right now, but maybe you could come back and play on another day." And introduced himself and asked for her name. Her name was Kathy. And my brother and I were like, what just happened here? Why is he being nice to the woman who's trying to kidnap our sister? Well, what my dad could see right away is that she had Down syndrome. And when we came into the house, he told us about Down syndrome, what it was, what it meant for people. And he said, "I think that you all should play with Kathy because I think she might be an angel who has come to teach you about different people with different abilities and different ways of being in the world. And I want you kids to make an effort to play with her." Now that was a huge gift. And the very first job I had out of high school was as a teacher's aide in a special ed class. And I loved my Downs kids. Those were the best. They were always smiling, always sweet. And I don't know if I would have gotten that gift if I hadn't been made comfortable in that arena by my dad. Now that's pretty cool. Now, there's also the aspect of my dad that said that everything that we had was owned by him. Our house, our clothes, our shoes, my bra belonged to my dad. He would let me know. And so I remember, once again, about 8 years old, my sister, who was always in my stuff, was playing with my record player and scratched my records, and I ran in and told my dad, "Beverly's not supposed to play with my record player, and she's ruined my record." And he was probably drunk. Looking back, I didn't know this at the time. He said, "Whose record player? Whose record?" And I said, "Well, mine, the one I've had since I was five, the one in my room." And he was like, "Oh, well, I thought that was my record player. I bought it. I thought that was my," and he just completely ignored my issue and made me feel as small as I could possibly feel. Well, at about age 8, I started cleaning out people's cars, cleaning out their closets, taking care of their kids, cleaning their houses, doing anything I could to make some money. And by age 11, I had $99. 50 cents at a time. And I went to Radio Shack and I bought my own stereo system. And I could not have been more proud. And it's hard to believe, but a similar thing happened shortly after that, where my sister, because I had something new, she had to mess with it, went to my room and started playing with my thing, and I could tell she had taken off one of my records, and it was scratched, and I went to my dad and said, "You know, she's done it again. You know, she's got my record player." He said, "Whose record player?" And I said, "Mine." Yeah. Bought it with my own money. And his response was, "And whose house were you living in? And whose food were you eating when you had the luxury of making this money?" So this was very, very hurtful. And the repercussions of that, the negative repercussions, last today. I mean, my husband and I joke all the time. He's one of the most generous people I know. And he says, "Honey, what's mine is ours. It's yours." And I said, "Yes, and what's mine is mine." Very important to me to have something to hold on to that's mine. But I tell you what the gift of that was. My very first marriage, which was very young and had probably a lot to do with trying to escape the household that I lived in, was to an abusive person. I stayed in it for far too long because I thought that's what God wanted for me, because I was told that divorce would send you to hell. This was my bed. I had lain in it. Well, after 5 years, I had a baby. And I got real clear on the fact that this baby didn't make this bed, and I was not going to let her be raised around that kind of anger and control and fear. And I was able to leave. And you know why I was able to leave without another thought? Is I had money in the bank in my own name, because it had always been very, very important to me to have. And another time in my life, I found it necessary to leave a situation again. And both of those times, I did not have to think about the financial aspect of what I was doing. I did what was right for me and my family and my heart, and not, "Oh, how am I going to work this out?" That is absolutely a direct gift of my father. Absolutely. It's not necessarily my personality to be that persnickety about, you know, financial stuff, but that was drilled into me, and that is a gift. And today, I thank him for it. I appreciate him for it. Now, I don't thank him for hurting my feelings, but I appreciate that there was a true gift in that, and that he was given to me as a father for very specific reasons. And I don't know all of them, but the ones that I have come to know, I'm careful to give thanks about. And that's what this all brings me around to, is that immanent God that Charles Fillmore talks about. God is transcendent out there everywhere. God is also as intimate as our own lungs and the air that we breathe into them. God is right here. God is within us. And it's my communication, consciousness, relationship with that immanent God, that highest part of myself, that highest perspective that I can cultivate, that allows me to see the gifts of the transcendent God and to see the gifts of the Father who was given to me in this human life. If I didn't have that relationship or that consciousness about immanent God, then I would not be able to see any of that. So all this time, without labeling it, that's what I've been talking about. The God that allows me to, the Father within, as Jesus talked about. I have some quotes written down here. So, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is Paul talking in Ephesians. Now, usually I don't quote Paul because I don't like him very much. But everything that I was beat over the head with by a kid, I finally figured this out, was not anything Jesus said. It was all stuff Paul said. Look it up. So that Father is not separate from the Father who creates the heavens and the earth, from the Father who formed the Grand Canyon, from the Father who formed the very cells in our lungs that are able to deliver oxygen to the rest of the cells in our body. That Father is not separate. And Jesus himself does in Matthew talk about our Father who art in heaven. But in John 10:30, he also says, I and the Father are one. It is the Father within me who does the works. And so that I am, that Father within, from that Father within, I can begin to father myself, if that makes sense. Now, I think we've all found fathers in our lives besides the one who gave birth to us. I had one particular teacher who was a real turning point for me in a time that I don't know if I would still be alive now if I hadn't had that person in my life. I also had a few years later another teacher who was a female who was definitely a mother to me when I needed one. We all have those people in our lives, and hopefully we all are those people in someone else's life. But there comes a time when you're alone with yourself in your room. You know that we are one, and yet you're alone in this dark house and there's no one else around. And sometimes it's hard to feel that. That is the moment where the relationship, how do you develop a relationship? You spend time with somebody, right? So the relationship between me and the Father within, between little human Melinda and higher self Melinda, between little child scared Melinda and great big father, mother, parent Melinda that says it's all going to be okay. To learn how to have that relationship so in the times that we need it, we can father ourselves. We can parent ourselves through those times, and we can give ourselves the gifts of the Father. So we recognize the gifts of that transcendent Father in the beauty that we see everywhere, in the intelligent design, in looking at something and going, who could have figured that out? And yet it works. And we give ourselves the gifts of our earthly fathers when we choose. That's what unity is really all about, isn't it? Knowing that we have the choice. Knowing that we get to choose if it's a gift or if it's a curse. The world doesn't get to tell me that's a curse. I get to choose that it's a gift if I want to. And so I can choose to have gratitude and appreciation for those gifts that were given to me by my earthly father. and I can gift myself through the Father within that is me and does the works, then I can gift myself with peace. I can gift myself with calm and forgiveness. I can gift myself with understanding. I can gift myself with love for myself. And that's the hardest thing. It's so easy to love other people. They look so good for the most part. Whereas right in here, I know all the nasty stuff that's in here, and I don't want you to see it, and how am I going to love it? Well, I have to love it because all of it is a gift. Remember that God is frugal. God is above all practical, and there's not one aspect of you that God can't use. And yes, we want to change ourselves, and we want to grow, and we want to learn, but I tell you right now, just as you are, God is using you without one change, without one difference. And so we learn to recognize that, to have that self-love so that we can fully love our fellows and not constantly be getting mad at them when they start to look like us. Right? You spot it, you got it. So in order to do that, we have to do the work. Dang. You know, epiphanies are great. They're sort of the ice cream of the spiritual path. But doing a different thing, changing a behavior, doing the work of quiet, of being with ourselves, of being with others, of learning what forgiveness means for ourselves and for others. When we do it differently, that's when our lives change. When we do it differently, that's when we transform ourselves and the situation and everything around us. So we do the work to cultivate that Father within, to integrate all of that truth. We take action. And so the gifts of the Father, as I see them today, are with that transcendent Father, Mother, God, we cooperate. We cooperate. I'm not going to decide whether there's a storm today, but I can decide whether the storm ruins my life. I can align with that transcendent God. And the gifts of my earthly father, however meager they seem, I can make the effort to start to appreciate them. And think about the word appreciation. What happens when something appreciates? It grows in value. You appreciate something and its value grows. And I can do all that by cooperating and aligning with that immanent God, spending the time to go within myself and getting to know that it really is all one, that whole Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's a mystery, and yet it's all true and one. The gifts of the Father are many and rich. So happy Father's Day to all of you. Just get yourself into that comfortable space. Feel that connection below from your feet to Mother Earth. Feel that connection from your crown chakra, from the top of your head to Father Sky, transcendent God, and know that you are everything in between.
In this moment, I release, I let go, I find peace. grace to forgive. I love you, I forgive you, please forgive me, thank you.
You may recognize those words as a translation of an old South Seas Island tradition called Ho'oponopono, which is a forgiveness exercise. I love you, I forgive you, please forgive me, thank you. Sometimes it's I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. And it's important to know that the please forgive me or the I'm sorry is not about I'm not good enough. It's about in my confusion I misunderstand. Sometimes I see a gift and I think it's no thanks, not what I want to have. And when I'm in my right mind, as we are in this moment, in this quiet place deep within, I can breathe deeply, breathe through those feelings and know that the truth is that all is well. So in this moment, I say, thank you, Father God. Please forgive my confusions so that I might love myself and your creation more fully, more freely, so that I might be free. And in this place of stillness, we can say that now within ourselves to our earthly fathers, whoever that might be, whoever your father figure was or the person who contributed DNA. I love you. I'm willing to know that there might be a gift in here that I may not have seen yet. So I take this step of just opening my heart a little bit, trusting that the Father within guides me and will guide my vision if I say, let me see through the eyes of God. Let me have this relationship with a God within who can help me understand the relationships with those people out there who are God's face that I can't always see. To our own fathers, to whatever extent we can today. And for that Father within, that higher self, that one who is the witness of everything we are and everything we do, and loves us unconditionally in every moment and allows love to come through us to others. We say, I love you. I forgive you. Please forgive me any confusion. As we prepare to return to this outer world, knowing that it is guarded, guided, held, uplifted, and loved at all times by this inner world, this inner God, this higher self. In this moment,